Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 46 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Working with Angels, Part 7. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Unlocking the prophetic, as we continue on in the changing idea of changing the atmosphere and the changing of the atmosphere is bringing Christ into the moment, which his presence changes atmosphere. There's a preceding, in scriptures, when there is a defined, definite truth of God that's fixing to break into your world, there is a preceding word. There is a, there's an announcement, if you will. There's a, one way that I know there's a spiritual invasion on the horizon is because of the preceding words that I start seeing and hearing and feeling. And this church has had tremendous preceding words about a move of God here. And you can say, well, Alan, I think it's just wishful thinking. Well, wishful thinking kind of goes and comes. A preceding word lasts. A preceding word was when God declared the sun would come up in the morning. He says it one time, and this is going to happen. So a preceding words of the Spirit lasts for eternity. It doesn't, a preceding word that we could mistaken that's from us, it'll fade. It'll come, it'll have a little pop, but it'll fade. A preceding word from the Spirit of God tends to build. And as an example, of course, I'll go for the big one, which is Jesus himself. But an example is a preceding word to the arrival of Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the preceding word, if you will, unto the arrival of Jesus. So he was with the one that preceded him. And understanding and changing atmospheres and what do we have to do with a move of God in an area, in a church, in your life, is where we start, of course, is you will discover preceding words that the Spirit of God is putting in your life, preceding events. And that's getting ready to have a visitation of his presence in your life, in a church, or in an area. You can say, well, Alan, shouldn't we be satisfied with what we've already seen? Now, truthfully, I have honestly seen God do a lot. I should not even entertain the thought that I should see his presence move once again, for I have seen enough for a lifetime. But there's something in me that just longs to see when his presence comes on the scene, what in the world is going to happen? What is he going to do? So in changing atmospheres, what I wanted to introduce you to this morning is this idea of being a preceding word unto the presence of God. As a prophetic person, your life should be a preceding word to somebody. That's right. It's a preceding word. You say, well, Alan, how can my life be a preceding word to someone else? It's because the Word of God is in you. If the Word of God is in you, then you have a lifestyle of being a preceding word. A preceding word, a prophetic preceding word, does not go around and tell people what to do. A preceding word from God goes around and tells what God's going to do. There's a big difference. And being a preceding word of telling people what to do and being a preceding word of announcing what God's wanting to do and how he's wanting to move. In being that preceding word, we understand that a preceding word, can you hear me? A preceding word will give you the spiritual weather report before it happens. If you get a weather report, you watch TV, and how many times have you said, well, those lying weathermen, right? I heard a guy the other day, he said, well, Alan, when old Cloudy McLean was on TV, he was always right. I said, yeah, but he just looked outside. He didn't have all of these gizmos and everything to tell him what was coming. He looked outside, and he had a rock, and if it was swinging, the wind was blowing, and if it was wet, it was raining, and that's about all he had. But he was usually right. So in what happens is we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and with that, we, in changing atmosphere, I'm trying just to tune you into this morning that we can give a preceding word of an atmospheric change of the Spirit. Now, there's different elements that get together in the natural that changes atmosphere. You can have a thunderstorm, right? But with a thunderstorm, you get a lot of racket, and you tend to get a lot of shaking. But it also produces rain, which we must have for things to grow. As a prophetic person, so is your life. Anybody been shook lately? Anybody seen any lightning lately? You must understand that the storms of life are created to produce life. The shaking and the lightning's not going to kill you, even though it might feel like it. It's not going to. It's an opportunity to make you stronger. You say, well, Alan, I don't like that program. Well, you'll have to take it up with Jesus himself because he created it. It's just the way he does it. When God's moving, it makes us uncomfortable. That's right. It just does. There's no way we can have a movement of the Spirit of God in the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere. There's going to be shakings. There's going to be thunder. There's going to be lightning, but it will produce life. It will produce life. You will be uncomfortable. You'll be like me in Toronto. You'll jump under the pew trying to hide from it, but it'll find you. The move of the Spirit of God is like the atmosphere. That's the reason we use the analogy of an spiritual atmospheric change. But we can be part of it. Now, I'll get parked there too long. Let me move on. As we're shifting these atmosphere, I'm in number 5 again. I added a little something with it, which is where I am trying to head. Number 5 is hope, the ultimate atmospheric shift to work with the angels. I'm going to head into this topic of how the prophetic operates with the angels of God. This is a true phenomena. It is real. Are angels real? The answer is yes, they are real. And God is intending for us as his people to work with them. Now, the angels, as you'll see as we keep heading in this direction, the angels of God tend to be in the first and second heaven. When they're on duty, they're in first and second heaven territory. They reside and rest and get their instructions from third heaven. But in first and second heaven is where the angelic host meaning army, of the angelic host of heaven resides. Now, we have been put in a place of leadership with the angels. They're waiting to hear from us also. They don't necessarily always wait for us to speak before they operate. If they did, they might not have much to do. But they do move and they operate with what God has them to do. But his intentions is our cooperation with the angels a lot, because the angels tend to operate in second heaven. I don't know if you've noticed, but we reside in what we call first heaven. And so there is to be a collaboration between the first heaven and the second heaven with the angels of God. And that term of the angels, we tend not to get into that too much because we don't know what to do with it. I don't claim to be an expert. I've seen one twice. I had all intentions it was the same angel. And I didn't get a good solid face-to-face view with it because it had turned and walked away from me. It was actually in a hotel room. And I saw a shadow in there with me. I thought, oh no, somebody's broke into my hotel room. And I had been praying. I was at a series of meetings. There's actually another guy with me. And he saw him also. And we thought, oh no, the person turned, went into the bathroom. I got a good view of him. He did too. And I punched him and I said, and he said, yeah. So I got up with full intentions of going there and jumping on somebody. But we'd been praying that night about the angelic, all of that stuff we'd been talking about, praying about, went in there, and of course there wasn't anybody there. And it scared the bejeebies out of me and him because we knew we had encountered, and our prayer had been to the Lord that we would encounter an angel. That's the first time I'd had that happen. And so the Lord gave me a little glimpse. And I'll be honest with you, when I've had an impartation of a revelation or something, the way the Lord usually does it in my life is through dreams. So a lot of times things that I teach or preach on or whatever, it's come through a dream. I go to the scripture, of course, to verify, but it's usually an angel in a dream is speaking to me. And I've always taken it it just communicates to me evidently better that way. So to have interaction with angels as believers is kind of a topic that we like to avoid because we know so little. And what I was saying is I don't claim to know that much, but I will claim I'm not going to avoid the issue nor the topic because I believe that the way revelation comes is you get involved. As you get involved with God, revelation comes. And so we want to be involved in the next few weeks in being in a relationship with angels. We know that an angel came to Mary, gave an announcement that she would be carrying the Savior of the world. And so we know that we have the angels there brought in what I call a preceding word to an impartation to the earth. Then when we start seeing in the next few weeks how we work in tandem with the angels, we also start understanding a little bit more our purpose in being here. And our purpose in being here is to change atmosphere, but how do we do that? Is that we announce to the earth, to an individual, to a church, It's what's in our heart that's an announcement that God's getting ready to move. Yeah. And so you don't wait and see if God's getting ready to move. You see, we're the preceding word. Your life is the preceding word to somebody that's lost. You see, when somebody sees you, they're like, wow. I remember when I got saved. It's really odd. I had an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord when I was 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I didn't get saved till I was 13. You say, well, how does that work? I have no idea how that theology works out. But when I got saved, I was with a group of young people that were saved. I wasn't saved. And I knew they had something that I didn't have. Did anybody else? I didn't know what it was. I just knew they had something I didn't have. So their life was the preceding word to me hearing the gospel. Because when I heard the gospel, I knew that's what they had that I didn't have. You see. So God moved in my life, but there was a preceding word before the Spirit of God moved in my life. Now, when you, as a prophetic people, as you understand this spiritual activity, you understand that the words of God here is a preceding word to you. Are you with me? The word of God is a preceding word or words. So as we read Scripture and we go over Scripture and we study Scripture, we start to discover that this book is alive because it's a preceding word unto your life. I mean, it's nothing better than get up in the morning and read the Bible, and I say, all right, Lord, what's my preceding word today? I want to read in your word, the preceding word to my life today. You say, well, Alan, does it work like that? Yes, yes, yes. You see, when God moves, he wants you to get it that he's just moved. He's not trying to hide from you. Right? God's not, I mean, you know, there's not, please hear me, there's not certain people that have certain secrets from God and they're not going to let you know what they are. That's not so. There's not people that's got more secrets from than you have, and if you want to be more spiritual, you got to find out their secrets so you can be like them. That's just totally not true. That's all soulish. That's all flesh. That's just pride. It has nothing to do with spirit. God's not trying to hide truth from you. He's just not trying to do that. He wants us to get it, is what he wants us to do. He wants everybody to get it. Wow, I hadn't even got past my first slide. What in the world am I doing? Now, so it's talking about the angels. All right. Mercy sakes, let me get on. So if we're shifting atmospheres, and we're going to learn how we shift atmosphere with angelic activity, and I've told you, and the reason I got to say this and keep saying it is I don't have any special information on the angels. I have encountered a few, and every time, that's where I was headed a minute ago, every time I've had an encounter, it scared me half to death. A lot of people say, well, I long to see an angel, and I'm like, well, I'm not so sure. Because every time, it's happened twice, and it scared me to death both times. And if you just want to know the honest truth, there's no doubt in my mind I'd just fall to the floor and I probably wouldn't get to see him for a second anyway. But here's what I learned. I want to tell you how close the angels are, and I want to make it real to you where you can get it. Have you ever been just doing something? You could be anywhere, work, mall, whatever, and you're looking straight ahead, and all of a sudden you see something move over here in your peripheral vision. And you look, and it's not there. You're like, what was that? Can anybody identify with what I'm saying? Everybody. That's an angel. It's the angels. Now, hopefully I can get into that and show you where it is. But so if you're going through life, and all of a sudden something's due. You see, God has created your eyes to see the natural world. He hadn't created them to see the supernatural world. You've got the natural world. You've got the supernatural world. And you've got the unnatural world. Darkness is trying to pull mankind into that's unnatural. Okay? But either way, you can't see it. You can see the results of the unnatural world, but you can't see the unnatural world. You can see the results of the supernatural world, but you can't see the supernatural world. Why? It's because the results of the unnatural and supernatural are realized in what the harvest of the supernatural and the unnatural is. You see the harvest of it. You see what it equals. The unnatural is trying its very best to be seen. So it has to live through a natural being. An unnatural being has to live through a natural being before it can feel life, because it's dead but yet alive, like a zombie. That's what a demon is. But it wants to feel life. So through an addiction, through pornography, through sin. Sin is the activity of the unnatural world trying to live in a natural world, and the only way it can do it is through you and me. In an addiction, what happens is that unnatural world convinces you that addiction's you. You're not that addiction. It'll talk you into saying to yourself, well, this is just me. No, it's not you. It's a demon. That's what it is. I'll call an angel, and I'll call a demon. It's a demon. It's convincing you that you're a demon.
That's right.
Well, if you're a demon, why does it kill you? Right. It'll kill you. It's unnatural. You were not created to sin. We do not do it well. We fail at sin. We were created to be in a relationship with the Creator. That's what we were created for. So we now find ourselves in this dilemma. And this dilemma is the unnatural world trying to kill, steal, and destroy its way into your life. And the supernatural world, which only comes into your life by invitation only. That's right. But in knowing that, the more you invite the kingdom to come into your life, the more that will come. You can't handle all the kingdom at one time. Come on, somebody. You just can't. So it comes in increments. One of my greatest joys is to watch the kingdom of God invade somebody's life. You ever seen that? Yes. Isn't that fun? That's just fun. All of a sudden, a person who was one way is now another way, and they so contradicted themselves after salvation and never been so happy about it. It's the invasion of that kingdom. It's the atmosphere has shifted. So understand the supernatural world, the natural world, and the unnatural world. Let me give you I don't know where it's at. Where did I put it, Lord? It's come in a dream, and I wrote it down in here somewhere. Oh, son of a gun, I can't remember. Okay, let me put it to you this way. Right, there it is. I got up, woke up, wrote it down. The unnatural world is a subhuman nature. If you want to write this down. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. The unnatural world is a subhuman nature. It means it's a sorry human. It's a subhuman. Romans 1, 28 through 32. The natural world is human nature, regular human nature. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the supernatural world, don't let that supernatural booger you. The supernatural world, or is the superhuman. That's right. Supernatural, superhuman. Natural is human nature. Unnatural is subhuman. Unnatural, subhuman, natural is human nature, supernatural, superhuman, and that's called the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Got that? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It's called the superhuman. Now, I want you to entertain this truth that you have been created in Christ Jesus to be superhuman. That's right. You've been created to be superhuman, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It's called the divine nature. Y'all have heard me say this before, but when you die and leave this body and we enter into heaven, what kind of nature do you think you'll have? You will have a divine nature. What kind of nature's in heaven? A divine one. We'll be like our Savior. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, we learn that we can start having the nature we're going to have then, now. That's right. We can start having the nature we're going to have in heaven now. It's with that superhuman nature that God's asking a prophetic people to announce His movings on planet Earth. That's the reason you can walk up to somebody and prophetically say whatever the Lord gives you to say to them. Now, does it mean it's going to happen? You've heard me say this before. No, it doesn't. But it means you just gave them an opportunity from heaven for that to happen. They have to say yes to the prophetic word from heaven. But that prophetic word will change your life. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? That changes the atmosphere. So when we invade a place, when we come into a place, and all of us have this understanding of being superhuman with the divine nature of God, then you have spiritual activity. Now, in shifting these atmosphere, we've been over these. It's anticipation, shift, gathering, relationship, heavenly places shift, and number five, hope, the ultimate atmospheric shift to work with the angels. Now, Satan never knew that Jesus was going to restore the heavenly atmosphere. Now, you've got to please get this one as we move on in working with the angels. Satan never knew. Never knew. Satan never knew that Jesus was going to restore the heavenly atmosphere. Jesus Christ is causing a shaking in the second heaven governmental structure. It's in Ephesians. I read it last week. He says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things. And He gave it to who? To the church. And you've got to get this one. This authority, Satan never knew that Jesus was going to restore the heavenlies. In this restoration process, can you hear me? This is an ongoing restoration. You now have found yourself birthed in a restoration process. You have been born again to a restoration process. if you will. We all bought an old house and we got to fix her up. Are you with me? He's called us to have authority in the second heaven, which we can't see. I was telling you a minute ago, you can't see into the supernatural or the unnatural. We can only see natural. Some of you have heard me say this, some of you probably haven't. The spirit world moves faster than the naked eye and slower than the naked eye. I wish I could, let me say it to you like this. If I could slow down the spirit world, you could see it in the natural. If I could speed up the spirit world, you could see it in the natural. It's all about speed of light. In other words, I cannot see a tree grow. But does it grow? Plant it in the ground 30 years later, look at the tree. Is that a miracle? Yes, but you can't see it, right? Did you grow? Do your children grow? Anything that has life grows and dies. Anything has life. Anything that's been alive we call organic. How do you know something's organic? Because it's either alive or been alive. So, the spirit world moves faster than you can see and slower than you can see. So, in your peripheral vision, you got an angel in the supernatural world and it's just about to break through. You just kind of get a little glimpse of it. It's right there. They're here now. It's just the speed they're moving in is either slower than we can see or faster. God has a lot of things to slow down until we catch up in natural time so we can synchronize it. That's another teaching. He has some things move faster than natural time so it'll synchronize. God messes with time. Jesus died before the foundations of the world. Duh, go figure. How did that happen? God manipulates time. God messes with time. So the spirit world moves faster and slower than your eye will see. But it's here just the same. But everything's not moving at the same speed of light. The natural world is that these two eyes has been created to see this speed, this zone here. But the other ones, two are out there, the unnatural and the supernatural. It's right here. Heaven doesn't have to come. It slows down and falls in. Do we see it? The results of it here. The speed of light. I've said this before, that you, on that scale of that piano over there, a note has a vibration. Everything that's organic's got a vibration, and it has a vibration, and you can hear those notes. But if you keep going up the scale, the vibrations get so quick, so fast, it turns into light. Light is just vibrations. It's faster than that. The vibration produces a light. Isn't that amazing? Are you with me? It's about speed. It's about speed. It's about time. So God has given the authority to us-ins over what takes place in this time zone that we can't see with our natural eyes. So therefore, he's called a prophetic people, a people of children, a people of God, that he says, okay, I'm going to give you faith. I'm going to give you a supernatural faith. And in this supernatural faith, you'll start seeing in that time zone that you can't see. And how do you see it? You see it with your heart. How do you say, well, Alan, how's that true? Everybody in here that's been born again had a visual of Jesus on the cross. How many people in their heart seen Jesus on the cross? Everybody. You see it in your mind. You see it in your spirit. That's a defining time in your life of the spirit. God slowed down that time before the foundations of the earth. And when Jesus died 2,000, he slows it down enough so that you can see it in your heart. It's just like you're there, but I've never been there. But I'm so convinced that it happened that I feel like I was there even though I wasn't there. God manipulated time in your spirit. He let you see it. When you saw it in your spirit, it became real to you and you said yes. I probably got you as confused as I can get you, hadn't I? I hope not. Well, I probably have some, but just whatever. Here we go. Now, here's the question. Who is guiding your future? The dreams of others or the dreams that Jesus has given you? I'm going to bring us into a place, because when we work with the Spirit, we work with the angels, we do it off a personal perspective. So I'm going to deal with you here a little bit on a personal side. Never give up your Jesus-given authority in your own life. Never do it. Jesus died to give you this authority to help restore this second heaven spirit stuff. Now, it is necessary to align yourself with life-giving things, life-giving people. I went over this a little bit last week. Some people will sap the very life out of you. You prophetically tell them the truth and go on. If you got to keep repeating yourself, they're either not hearing you or you're not saying it plain enough. That's right. If somebody likes to hear what you got to say so much they want to move in with you, you're not telling them the truth. That's right. No one can do this for you but you. Now, what does Jesus given authority look like in my own life? Now, I went over this last week. I'm not going to do it again, but if you want to hear what this is, I'll go over just a little reminder. What does Jesus given authority in my own life look like? It's Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I went over faith last week. I mean, hope last week. You remember I called it a well, the well of hope, right? Now, hope is the attitude of a prophetic person in Christ that's not living in self-pity. Uh-oh. Say, Alan, that's good preaching.
That is good preaching.
I couldn't say it again if I had to, but y'all know what I mean.
Yes.
Hope is the way you think. Self-pity, when we wallow in self-pity, there's no hope. Self-pity is when you want a pat on the head from people.
Yes.
Hope is when you trust in God. If you want a pat on the head from people, you're going to have to hire some full-time patters. Because you can't convince one individual to keep patting you forever. You can say, well, the Bible says they're supposed to pat me. No, it doesn't say it anywhere. Now, hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse is talking about this realm that you can't see. I can't see it. So I'm not hoping in the natural. I'm hoping in the world I can't see. You start seeing why you need to consider the angels, the power of the Holy Spirit, and changing the atmosphere. Why? It's where hope works faster than the natural world. It's a spiritual term. The speed's faster. You can't see it. It's evidence of things not seen. Hope is a spiritual term that works in the supernatural world, realm. It moves faster. Listen to me. Unnatural. We're praying for the sick. Disease, sickness, demons, whatever. They'll work for a lifetime to destroy you. One preceding word from God will outrun that sickness and change the end. Anybody hear me? I think I just found what I was trying to say. One word from God will outrun a word from Satan. It's in a different time zone. It moves faster. The unnatural moves slow. It has to. It takes years. It has to work at you. Get you started smoking pot and you'll end up on heroin. It takes it a while. Pornography. Start off with this. You go to that. It takes a while. Right? Any addiction. It takes a while before it'll kill you. A prophetic word from God will outrun any prophetic word in the unnatural realm. Jesus died before the foundations of the world, and God can zoom it to the year 2018, somebody get born again right now. They were destined for hell, and the preceding word of Jesus on the cross outran it. Why do you think he had to die before the foundations of the world? So it would precede anything that Satan had to offer. Does anybody get it? Can you see how important a preceding word is? Can you understand that the words from God move quicker than the words of Satan? It'll outrun them. It gets to the end first. But God has called a people to precede his word. Now, I think I just run out of air. I forgot to breathe. Romans 8. For in hope we have been saved. Oh, remember, hope's a supernatural word. It's not a natural word. Supernatural word. If you hope, if you use hope in the natural sense, you're trusting man. If you use hope in the spiritual sense, you're trusting God. For in hope we have been saved. Oh, that's spirit, isn't it? If hope in spirit saves me, that means it outran my death. The reason God can tell you you're saved and going to heaven is because when you hoped in him, his preceding word of Christ on the cross before the foundations of the world zoomed right there to the end, and it's there waiting on you. Just hallelujah. It outran everything. Now, every word of God in your life will precede and get to the end of where you're at, even now. So you can have great hope. You can say, but Alan, they said this about me, and they said that, and said I never should do this, and I never should. Well, what's that got to do with God? Not a cotton-picking thing. Got to understand a prophetic word to somebody of encouragement or direction or whatever. When a person gets so far down in the unnatural world, when somebody is getting hooked in the unnatural world, they slow down. Have you noticed it? They can't even get out of bed. They can't. You know, it's just like you're in molasses. You get people in the spirit, they tend to get excited. They get to jumping around. They want to move. I'm not talking to you, Dustin. He's back there. I said, Dustin, you better sit down. You're going to get me cranked before we get cranked. He's back there whirling and twirling. When you got your hope in Christ, you're saved because that word of Christ got there before. It's just waiting on you. It's right there at your death. But hope that it seems not hope. There you go. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. You see, it's that preceding word. You think of whoever your children or whoever you want to be born again, you start speaking a preceding word over their life. You just pray the preceding word of God. Say, God, I pray that your word will supersede. I'm speaking it as a preceding word, and your word moves quicker than the unnatural world, so I know that your words will outrun them. Somewhere or another, they're going to get saved. Because your word's faster than the unnatural world. Can anybody catch that? It's all about speed now. So we got to go into hype. That's the reason your words don't do anything. If you persuade somebody or something, it's all linear. It's all natural time. You're too late. We got to have a word that moves quicker. Now, hope is the center of God's power. I went over this. It's like a well. It's in the middle. Hope is like a well. We draw third heaven power. Now, may the God of hope. Now, here we go. Why is it called here? Why does Paul call him the God of hope? Because it's this supernatural realm. You got to get the word supernatural hope is not wishful thinking. That's not what it is. Supernatural hope is knowing what God said is true, and it'll outrun anything on the racetrack. That's right. God of hope, fill you with all joy, peace, and believing that you may abound in hope. By how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, here comes the four barrel. Power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound is more than bound, right? Abound is fuller. It's out. It's running over. Abound by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we have these prayer pods? It's because we're going to petition the God of hope. And we're asking for these people in these prayer pods that's praying. I don't want them just to have hope. I want them to have more hope than they can hold. And it runs out on those that's sick. And they receive the power of the Spirit. For where the power of the Spirit is, sickness cannot remain. All right. Now, this hope is active. I said in the Bible, hope is never passive. It is life-sustaining. Those who truly have a biblical hope live life accordingly. There again, you can't be self-absorbed and have this hope. A biblical hope is not an escape, but is what puts us in gear to move forward on with the promises of God. Puts us in gear to move. This hope changes how we see ourselves. We see life on this earth as temporary and God's kingdom is eternal. This hope gets us excited. Amen. And I was going to say amen, Dustin, and I'll be son of a gun if he ain't gone. 2 Peter, and I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling to stir you up by the way of reminder. Now, I don't have time to get into this one. To be stirred up in the Spirit creates a type of spiritual atmosphere. I'm not saying you got to be stirred up outwardly, even though some people, ever what's in comes out. But it stirs you inwardly. You're stirred at this. I read this article a few days ago where these scientists have come up with this idea. Now, Ed will appreciate this, saying that the part of the brain that we use for religion or faith is actually a part of the brain that's insane. That's right. They had this big conference on. So the point being, they're trying to get to that people of faith are crazy. The only thing I can tell you is if I am, don't wake me up. If my definition of life is crazy to you, so be it. Why do we need to know where our hope lies? Is because we are living in a world Listen, I would to God that such the kingdom of God would move in this place that they called us crazy. I'm okay with that. But when people's lives are changed, hearts are changed, lives are changed, let it be so, Lord. This hope gives us protection, it says in Psalms. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His what? Loving kindness. This hope gives us strength, courage, and boldness. This is what happens with a supernatural hope. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who do what? So if you hope in the Lord, what does it put in your heart? Courage. That's what hope benefits. This hope gives us confidence in 1 Timothy. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. God is called the God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you. Amen. May the God of hope do what? Fill you with what? Joy and peace. Now how do I get the joy and peace? In believing. That you may abound in what? Hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The well of hope deepens as we learn Scripture. You know, I didn't even get to the first angel, did I? Y'all just have to come back, is all I can tell you. You don't want to miss it. The well of hope deepens as we learn the Scripture. Now, this is important. Romans 15:4. Oh, look, watch it. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have... The well of hope deepens. It deepens as we learn the Scripture. Why? I've already told you. The Word of God is a preceding word to your life. If you don't read it, it ain't going to happen. That's good English. You got to read it. Read it daily. It's a preceding word to your life today. When you read it as a preceding word, it comes alive in your life today. It will move faster than any circumstance you have today. Can anybody catch what I'm trying to do here? Wow, I got to quit. But I think the preacher says I'm going to be back here in about an hour. I got to give you the message. I might just pick right back up. You can't tell. Can we, I can feel the presence of God so strong. I'm about scared to move. Let's stand up and let's worship and let's move right on into the service. If you got to leave and go to the bathroom, it's okay. Those who will stay as we worship, let's move into worship. Lord Jesus, be with us. Fill us with the power of your Spirit. Give us revelation of your truth. Let us be true to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.